my friends. Good morning and welcome. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, heard planet-wide on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Frank Whalen. Welcome aboard. It is, of course, a Tuesday morning, September 6, 2005. Hope you all had a nice Labor Day weekend. Didn't get stranded somewhere with gas prices where they are. By the way, continuing to go down today as we speak, contemplating some, a temporary removal of federal tax. Some states have already taken off the state tax, and yet, of course, pump prices remain the same. Amazing how these things work, isn't it? Our website, frankly... Good morning. Good morning, my friends. Welcome back to the big show. We call it Frankly Speaking Radio, heard planet-wide on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Frank Whalen, and welcome back. Alrighty. Our phone number, 1-800-313-9443. A couple of quick stories here, and then we'll get to some phone calls. This one from yesterday, JimMcCandyScience.com. Finally, the public is waking up to who FEMA and their straw boss, Homeland Security, really are. Their role was not to save New Orleans or the Gulf Coast residents. Their task was to depopulate the area along with ethnic cleansing, the same issue that occurred in Florida last year. And I think this is just one of the first of numerous upcoming attacks on U.S. cities. There's no doubt in my mind that the New Orleans levees were blasted out when it was clear that New Orleans had survived Hurricane Katrina, which was a completely manipulated storm. I reported this as soon as the news came out that the levees went on Tuesday morning. There are now reports of people witnessing the levee explosions. There was no way all these levees blew out at the same time, completely inundating the city from all sides. With the pattern that has emerged, it would appear that Chicago might be next, with possibly a biochem terror attack, with the maximum stress placed on the Midwest and maximum ethnic cleansing. That's what Jim McCanny says. I have heard more eyewitness accounts about those levees being detonated, and I heard it was done intentionally, but not to destroy the city per se, but rather to alleviate some of the stress in some of the other areas. They already detonated a place that had collapsed. So I don't know. Again, I'm always skeptical about these things, especially when most of us are sitting out here armchair quarterbacking the whole incident. We're not really on the scene, but it is, from what I hear, it is definitely true that they detonated it. But you know, what is the reason? Well, it would seem that they were doing it, from what I hear, that they were doing it to remove the strain on other parts of the levee. They had detonated a place that had already collapsed. Now, why? What were some places they were concerned about? What was the rich area? So you can almost make a case for a combination of the two here. I got this one, an email sent around on Rumor Mill News this morning. Last night. Take it or leave it. Here's what it says. I just heard on a local radio station that 2,500 victims from Hurricane Katrina will be leaving Texas and headed for Massachusetts in the next 72 hours. The original plan last night from the mayor of Boston, Mayor Minimo, I guess I say it, said that they would be able to go through the Boston Convention Center because that area has plenty of room. Today the plan changed to Otis Air Force Base. Camp Edwards, Governor Nick Romney got on the radio today and said that they would be fingerprinted and contained within wire. He used the reason that there is a need for very high security because top-secret planes come and go in and out of this base. This is bull. I want to know if you could help me inform the mayor of New Orleans of what is going to happen to his people. Do you think he's in on it? And it's just a waste of time. We can be sure more of the bases will be used. So, again, yes, we have top-secret security issues at these bases, and we need to have that razor wire. We need to have these armed guards. That's a fact. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on at these bases. Like I said, I've been on them my whole life. And even places that, you know, you're cleared to live there, you're cleared to work there, whatever the case may be, there's still places you're not cleared to go, no matter who you are, for the most part. In fact, some of the bases I've been on have toxic waste dumps. And they say, look, this is a toxic area. You stay out at your own risk. This is a dangerous area. Or other places where they're doing various things, like, working on some of the big ships that come in. So, you know, there are some sensitive areas. I'm not making excuses. I'm saying that that's why it's such an ideal location, because there's already razor wire. There's already guards. there's already situations that people can't go to who are welcome to live on that base. So obviously this makes a perfect setup for a labor camp type scenario where you've got, okay, we're building these refineries on these places. Okay, we've already got military housing at these abandoned bases. Go ahead and live there. Okay, now in exchange for the room and board and the rations that you receive at the military cafeteria, we are going to pay you a small amount of money, but you can work it off. You can work off the food and shelter. You can work off the utilities and whatnot. All you got to do is go ahead and work on our refineries. So it makes sense, folks. It's a labor camp. That's what they're designing it for, and we speculated on that beforehand, and it appears that that has come to pass. So again, is any of this surprising? No. Is any of this legitimate? Yes. Is this something to be concerned about? Not concerned, you know, to the direction of fear. No, it's to be concerned about in that you should be aware of it. That's it. So the rest do it. And again, take steps to be self-reliant so you don't be in this situation. Now, as I said, being here in Arkansas, there's no natural disaster that's going to strike where I'm going to get an advance warning. Okay, not like a hurricane. Well, in the next 48 hours, this could be bad, so you might want to leave. If a tornado develops, which they rarely do in this mountainous, hilly region, it's you know, very little, if any, warning. As far as earthquakes go, as far as I know, there's no way to predict those except by looking at people who are deemed fringe elements, like Jim Berkland, who's right on in my book. If Jim ever calls me up and says, get out, I'm leaving. But, you know, this having been said, if there is a disaster to strike this area, I'm stuck where I am. So odds are you might be in the same situation. Yeah, you might get an advance notice for a hurricane, in which case you should probably have some emergency supplies already packed up and ready to go. But, you know, you never know. You may not get an advance warning. Do not let yourself be one of these people who's had the legs knocked out from underneath you. You could say, oh, it's just the blacks, or it's just, you know, the Hispanics, or it's just this, or it's just that. It's the poor, folks. That's all it is. They're widening the chasm between the different socioeconomic groups. Plain and simple. Rich getting richer, poor getting poorer. It's just the way the world goes. So that having been said, let's go to the phones again. 1-800-313-9443. John in Maine, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Frank. How are you doing this fine day?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Frank, I got to tell you, I am so glad that you're where you are now reporting rather than where you used to be. I think Mr. Stat Miller's done a heck of a job getting some really talented folks on this program here.
Thanks, brother.
I normally listen to you at work with an earbud in my ear, so I don't have the opportunity to call in. Mm-hmm. I'm on a CERT team, which is under FEMA. We're trained to search and rescue, first aid, and everything else. But to confirm what other people have said, the primary purpose of FEMA is to restore government. It
Absolutely.
Doesn't matter how many people are injured, how many people are dying, how many people are in need of food or water. It doesn't happen until the government is reestablished. And look at Hurricane Andrew in Florida, the first FEMA test, what they did down there, all the way up to today. Bottom line, that's their job. Take care of government first.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And I interviewed an individual by the name of Harry Martin a few years ago. Are you familiar with him?
I've heard of him, but I don't
He wrote an amazing article, and it's linked up somewhere on my site, honestly, and I wish I had more direction to provide to you, but you could probably just look up his name. He wrote an amazing article called The Secret Government. Like I said, fantastic guy. And this article was written, I think it was... It's dated somewhere in the early to mid-90s. Now, when I interviewed him, he surprised me by saying that he had actually written that like 10 years earlier, but there was no internet to post it on. So he put the date on it when he posted it. Now, it's called FEMA, the Secret Government. It talks all about these things. And fantastic guy, amazing article. It talks all about the different things, all of which you probably know. But for those of us who are maybe not in the loop, it was an amazing revelation. And now they're talking about moving FEMA out from the Department of Homeland Security. Now, obviously, some of the other calls are, we got to investigate this, we got to investigate that. But surely one of the things that I've heard, and I'm sure you probably heard this as well, is we really need to funnel a lot more money to FEMA to handle these disasters. But as you said, all they do is continue the functionality of the powers that be. I mean, that's their primary focus, and you know, they really don't shy away from it too often.
No, you're absolutely right. Another thing that I heard that I really can't confirm, but it came from my assistant county coordinator over the weekend, was that, and I don't know if you've mentioned it, President Bush suspended Posse Comitatus, and he put actual military troops down in Louisiana to keep law and order. If that's true and you've got 10,000 foreign troops down there, that doesn't bode too well for this country.
I have not heard that. Clint, jump on that for me, buddy. See what you can dig up. No, that's actually pretty surprising to me.
I can't confirm it yet. I've been trying to dig in and confirm it.
Right.
But the email, we've been going back and forth, and the email that I got from him definitely said that. Let's see, where is it at? His first one was, you're now seeing how unimportant the people of New Orleans are to FEMA. Might the people of Maine be less important after a similar disaster? Take heed, get it before it's gone. Meaning, get ready to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And then his other email was, President, food for thought. President Bush has suspended Posse Comitatus and is sending active duty troops into New Orleans for peacekeeping law enforcement duty. This should be interesting, folks. So I'm not sure just how, I haven't been able to confirm it yet. But
it's very interesting.
To the ground too.
Well,
it may just be localized.
Yeah, it's very possible. Now, there's so much of this coming out, and I'm glad that you brought this up because this is a big issue. There's so much of this that has come out to talk about martial law and things of that nature. Now, initially they said it was declared, then they said it wasn't. Then I heard Mayor Ray Nagin, I think it's Ray. He said he did declare martial law in the city, but it wasn't declared statewide by the governor. Then there was a story in the Times-Picayune over the weekend, which I deem to be extremely credible because they're on the scene, and they've done some devastatingly accurate reporting as of late. And they had said in this story that martial law was not declared. So let me get you to hang on here for a second, if you don't mind, sir. We'll be right back, folks, after this quick break with more callers and more Frankly Speaking Radio.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years.
Good morning. Welcome back, my friend. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I'm your host, Frank Whalen. With us on the phone, John from Maine. John, thank you again for the call. And please continue. I got Clint looking some things up, and he said that he's heard some things, but no official declarations that he's able to find in the mainstream. But obviously, you know, what you're talking about, you know, you guys would have that going around far before the mainstream would have it. So,
yeah, we're actually invited to go down to Florida last year. I'm kind of surprised we weren't offered to be brought up now. But if you think about it, there's really nothing that we can do at this point going down there, because they've got things in place. They're not going to need feet on the street, so to speak, for a couple of months till they get everything cleaned up.
Absolutely. And I mean, if you look at the whole cleanup situation, it's nightmarish, and it will take a long time. There are actually stories, shockingly, out there saying that Mardi Gras might still happen, which is, I know, it's just ridiculous.
Well, the other thing that I don't go for any party, but I am registered Republican just so I can influence the selection of candidates that we
they'll listen to you a lot more. Sure.
But I sent a letter to the White House and to my senators, who are both Republican, and my congressman, and I told them that I was very disappointed in the way that they're handling this situation and the way they're running the country. I said there's a federal law that said profiteering in oil during a crisis is a federal crime. I said, you are aware of this, I'm sure. I said, why are you letting the commodity brokers and a World Bank bankrupt this country at this time? And I told him that I was leaving the Republican Party, which I'm going to do Wednesday. I'll go down and go independent. So I may not be here. But anyway, I'm not for any candidate, and I'll speak up. But the bottom line is, Bush did organize FEMA 3 days ahead of time. They were ready. But the Americans' perception on what FEMA is all about and what they're supposed to do and what they really are all about are two different things. I have to give, as much as I dislike what the man has done to this country, you know, he did get FEMA ready 3 days ahead of time, and they're doing their job, which is to take care of government.
Yeah,
and it's sad in a country today with our technology and our resources that people suffer while government lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. I mean, it's tragic and it's sick, and unfortunately, it's a practice that's been around long before FEMA even existed. These shadow governments that are ready to step in at a moment's notice. We talked about the nuclear option that was talked about in Congress. The doomsday scenario, rather, where a bunch of people would get killed in some sort of terrorist attack, in which case they had to find different ways to cut through the bureaucracy to replace various politicians and so on and so forth. But what they had it down to, I believe, is that 12 members of Congress could, enact laws and things of that nature, as opposed to, an overwhelming majority or whatever is required for certain actions to be taken.
Right.
You're absolutely right. This is the priority for them.
I believe that gentleman you're talking about, Harry Martin, was secret government. If that's the gentleman I'm thinking of, that there's actually a government that's already operational behind our government in case our government gets taken out. These people step right in. I believe that that's the whole goal, and they're dispersed right now. And
absolutely.
It's sad when the government can create this mess, cause billions of dollars in damage and tens of thousands of lives lost, and yet they get away with all of the fruits of labor. One more thing I'll leave you. Mm-hmm. Just horrible thought I had, and I know you've got other callers, but another interesting place for a hurricane to hit would be the New Jersey-New York border, which is not uncommon for hurricanes to hit there.
Very true.
A lot of oil refineries up there, deep water ports, Stock Exchange, probably nail Boston and New England at the same time. Hope not to see it, but just the East Coast time.
Absolutely. Absolutely, my friend. Well, given the fact that these hurricanes can do just apparently some amazing acrobatics. We saw it last year with the hurricane doubling back and hitting, Florida twice. We saw it with Katrina that went basically around Florida up and hit New Orleans. So amazing stuff all over the place. And I would not be surprised if something did happen, in some of the northern areas, which maybe aren't accustomed to maybe the severity of certain hurricanes as far as the displacement and things, at least not on par with Florida, for example. I mean, we all look at Florida as sort of the big target in the crosshairs, but obviously there are other areas that need to be, factored in. Mississippi, Alabama, and Louisiana, for one, obviously. Texas is certainly has an issue as well. So,
right.
There's a lot going on, my friend. You're right on about that.
The interesting thing is I'm in my 50s, and I've been through probably a dozen hurricanes. I grew up down in Miami. Our house is still there. It's a concrete block house with a flat roof. I mean, it went through Andrew, no problem. Went through this one. In fact, the eye went right over the house. Katrina's did, my mom said. No problem. But if a major storm were to hit in the Northeast, you've got stick-built homes. Look at the new homes built in Florida and everything. What happens
Absolutely.
To them? They're gone. They're gone. Well, Sir Frank, thank you very much. You have a great show, and I do listen every day. I just can't call in. And thank you very much for your information. God bless you, sir.
John, I reiterate all the same back to you and more. I can't tell you what it means to know people are out there. And although, I know you usually say you listen at work, I'm glad that you're able to be a part of the show and call in and all that. And, yes, please keep us in the loop. You obviously have some access to information that people need, so you have an open forum anytime, as do you all, folks. So stay with us. Quick break. We'll be right back. More Frankly Speaking Radio. Glad to have you here with us today. Our website, franklyspeakingradio.com. Phone number, 1-800-313-9443. Before we go any further and take some more calls, which we will do, let me point out a couple things. There's a lot of talk about good things happening in all these areas, and I think that's fantastic. And I think that it's important to address some of those as well. So I'm glad they're out there. But let me point something out. Whenever you have situations like this, they're always very, very tense, very high stress, and very fluid. Things are always changing. And I want to just say this, that you know, the show, I always talk about it being a one-man operation, and it is for the most part. I spent about 6 hours yesterday researching the 200 stories sitting in front of me that I'm not going to have time to get into today. But anyway, I want to thank all of you out there for the great information that you send me, the great emails and the kind words of encouragement. I do get them, and they do mean the world to me. I also want to specifically mention Webmaster James, who works extraordinarily hard on the website. He just does great things, and he's just a great source of inspiration. Like I said, he's like a suit of armor for me. He deflects a lot of the cyber attacks that get sent my way. So God bless him, and let him know you appreciate him. Also, of course, I got to thank Clint, who is on top of things always. And he helps me out with the show and keeps me company during the breaks and annoys me and makes me laugh. But nevertheless, I just have to say that. Speaking of the website, though, be sure to enter our big contest, Energy Cleaner Giveaway at Yahoo.com. It is not a big deal. I know some of you said, well, you know, I don't want to enter because I think more other people deserve it. No, if they deserve it more, then they'll deserve it more. And what harm is it to send an email? So Energy Cleaner Giveaway at Yahoo.com. Lee Krock will be joining us this Friday, and very excited to have him here. His generosity, unparalleled. And let me just say this, with all the stories about hurricane survivors being taken in, I told you this the last time we had Leon, which was, I guess, about a week and a half ago. I said, hey, he's offering you free room and board at the Energy Lodge, so you can get yourself better, and all you got to do is bring your own food. It's free, though, to stay there. How much more valuable is that offer in light of these things? Because let me tell you something, folks, if what John had just talked about in his call happens and the Northeast gets nailed, make no mistake, your opportunity to go to the Energy Lodge is gone. Am I right? If they find out some guy's offering room and board to anybody who wants to stay, they'll just pack them on full. They'll say, well, you know, usually you have two beds in a room, but we could fit 15 people in each room. So we're going to go ahead and do that. So, again, visit Lee's website. Give him a call. Talk to the man. Find out if this is something that you want to do. Either make the trip up there to Ohio and stay in the Energy Lodge, or you just want to talk about a machine, or you want to do some research, so you can send me that email and be a part of the contest, which is happening this Friday. Don't forget about that, okay? That having been said, back to the phones, 1-800-313-9443. Renee in North Carolina, welcome to the show.
Morning, Frank.
How are you?
Fine. This whole deal about the levees, this would not be the first time. Actually, the levees were blown. The big flood in 1927. I just saw it. I don't know if it was History Channel. It was one of those things. The levees were deliberately blown because the people, the rich bigwigs in New Orleans, wanted the rich northeastern investors to understand that no matter what, their investment would be protected. So they did flood other areas in order to protect New Orleans. They destroyed 7,000 homes. They were supposed to make restitution of these people, and they never did. So this whole thing about, oh, they'd never blow the levee, they've done it before, and that's a fact.
Wow.
So, you know, people need to get past that in their mind. I think it was Dalton that was asking about the was previously said from Out by Al in Colorado.
Yes.
All he has to do, I don't know if he has internet access, but it's flying all over the net, to see the clip of Aaron Broussard from Jefferson Parish where he said that they prevented, FEMA prevented water from coming in, they prevented them from picking up diesel that was right there, fuel, and they destroyed the communication lines, and then Sheriff Lee had to guard them after that. And that was said on Meet the Press. Mm-hmm. And so, now one thing that I really resented, to me, the host of Meet the Press, even though Aaron Broussard was, they keep, mainstream media keeps playing the clip where he fell apart talking about the woman who had died that most people have heard this and are all familiar with, while waiting for help. But you know what? to me, why didn't mainstream media follow up right there and say, and nobody, even though they play the clips on mainstream media and other places, like I say, they play the clip where he's crying, why isn't anybody asking and interviewing Mr. Broussard and saying, what do you mean they wouldn't let water, they wouldn't let diesel, and they cut your phone lines? I have not seen that. Even though Tucker Carlson had an interview with him on last night. It's like, doesn't it stand to reason, Frank, if you had some sort of, if you were some sort of interviewer with the media, you'd ask him about that? But there's no follow-up on that, which is very suspicious.
Yes.
Another thing, like I said, another thing that really upsets me, they would not let the Red Cross in. People need to stop sending their money to the Red Cross because it's not getting to those people. And they can't say, well, they wouldn't let us in. Well, shoot. Harry Connick Jr., Sean Penn, Orfell Neville, they sure got in. And the thing is, that's their job. Why isn't that woman from the Red Cross getting on the media and saying, the government, we want to help the people. She has media access. She sure can get her face on the TV when she's asking for donations.
Let me tell you.
If she cared about the people, she should have gotten on the TV and said, look, we're trying to get in. They won't right. let us in. I have not seen her do that.
Let me tell you a story. I was talking to, like I said, I get a lot of information. I'm going to try to make this as generic as possible for the airwaves consumption. I talked to a guy who was in a position to aid the Red Cross in a certain flood situation. And how he aided them was he got a big contracting company to donate a piece of machinery that they had been begging for, saying that they need this. And this machine would have suited the purpose. The machine was valued at over $100,000. This company was going to give it to them, to the Red Cross. Say,
uh-huh.
Here, you can have it. Not loan. Give. And the people that this person talked to were thrilled at the Red Cross. They were thrilled about it. Well, then one of the higher-ups interceded, made a phone call and said, hey, instead of sending this $100,000 plus machine, it would really be better if you just sent us the money. And here's a place you can send it to, and I'll take care of it. And those people went on to suffer measurably as a result of this machine not being present there. This is what it's all about. It's all about money.
Well, you have to ask yourself exactly. When the government continually broadcasts the Red Cross and the Salvation Army, I used to trust the Salvation Army because I know their people don't get paid as much money and stuff like that. But the way the government promotes them now, I'm starting to become suspicious of them, too.
Well, you heard about Pat Robertson's organization being promoted, I'm sure.
Yeah, that too.
Yep.
And especially after what he said recently. And, you know, a lot of people, I've seen some very disturbing stuff on the net. You know, people, you know, because of people on welfare or being a wicked city, New Orleans, getting God's vengeance. If God wanted to do us a favor and strike down a wicked city, Katrina would have hit D.C. And this is the best. I saw a clip that disproves so-called karma. You know, because here you have a lot of innocent poor people in the pecking order of life got a raw deal from the day they were born. And guess what? And I found this suspicious. The French Quarter was under guard, although the rest of the city was abandoned, because the French Quarter was not touched. I saw the famous stripper, Christy Owens, on TV. She went and unlocked her club. She said right there on TV, it was untouched. It looked like it was ready for business. So it looks like God was protecting the stripper's club on Bourbon Street.
Which
you know,
one?
If people are going to have that thinking that some of them have, it's like, you know, because her club was untouched. Well, so all these people, but this some of the stuff that they're saying, which is just awful. Like I said, if they really examine the facts, these memes that have been drilled into their head, these cliches that people turn to explain things to themselves and to give themselves their comforting delusions to hang on to, are just untrue because karma in this instance didn't work in many, many ways. You say, because if it did, George Bush would not be president. And, you know, a lot of good people would get a better deal. You know, this is a way, and I even read one place that the whole karma thing was actually started by the British. It's not really from India. What it is, it's a system of control. If you tell people that the reason they have a bad lot in life is because they were bad in a previous lifetime, then they feel responsible for it, okay? And plus two, then you threaten them with, and if you don't behave yourself, you think you have it bad now, the next time you come around, you're going to have it even worse. So that it's a way of controlling the people on the lower end of the population in a culture to keep them from rebelling out of fear that if they do, they'll come back in a lower caste the next time.
Right.
So that's, I read that once about the whole karma thing. Actually, that whole thing was started by the British when they were in India. I have to try to find that again where I
saw
that.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. It's very interesting.
I'm pretty sure I saw it in... I was trying to look for it the other day, breezing through my book, The Lucifer Principle, and I think it was in there. If I find it, I'll call in and I'll share it with you.
Please do.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Renee, as always.
Okay.
I appreciate
Bye.
That. Bye bye. Very interesting. Right on point. A lot of big things happening out there, and that's what we're talking about here today, folks. So. You're welcome to be a part of the show. We got some things lined up, lots of news, of course, and calls and guests and things like that. But here's the number, 1-800-313-9443. Bert in Ohio, welcome to the show.
Hey, brother. How you doing, man?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good, doing good. Hey, I've noticed, man, that you've been off key like everybody else, man. It's been a hard thing for us to go through last week, so just wanted to throw that out there. I mean, It's really strange how they seem to. It's like, you know, I can't even stand to watch the TV anymore. I mean, the stuff they're throwing out there is just totally preposterous. I mean, it has no backing as far as this whole New Orleans situation, from the piss poor response to I don't know what. But I decided to go ahead and try to maybe give you a little bit of a boost, man. Remember that guy Ray I was telling you about that you helped me win to the Lord?
Uh huh.
Well, I got him here to talk to you, man. So, Ray, meet Frank. Frank, meet Ray.
Hey. Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up?
It's good to hear from you. That's it's good to know people are out there, people are listening, things like that. So, yeah, fantastic stuff.
I actually can honestly say I very much so love your site. It's a great site.
Oh, thanks. That's solely through James's hard work.
And kudos to James because it's incredible, great source of information.
Well, thanks. Well, you know, it's amazing because I think a lot of people are skeptical about a lot of things. And, you know, one of the ways that I came into this was from a point of really not knowing anything, not knowing the right questions to ask to even be skeptical. And then I did learn the questions, was skeptical of the answers, and then started finding answers that I could not in good conscience ignore. So...
Right.
You know, I came out of it through a long, painful process of research, one of the things that we've tried to do with the site, because James, I think, had the same sort of awakening a lot of our listeners here did locally, is try to gear this program as a very palatable sort of place for people who are skeptical of all things to really come and find out that all this stuff is resourced and researched, and that's why most of our news sources all come from mainstream sources, so they can't be refuted.
Well, I think it's one of those things that you got to understand that the majority of the skepticism, I don't think, is necessarily like an inherent truth as much as it is that people desperately want to cling to this dying world, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Right, and they're terrified of the idea of, you know, having to give up, like, their 27-inch screen TVs and their PS2s and their very nice Beamers that get the chicks. I mean, you know, it's like, let it go, it's dead.
That's right.
You know?
That's an excellent point, and I agree. It's a difficult process waking up because what you've got is you're faced with, again, irrefutable proof that certain things are out there, certain things exist, and certain influences have been wielded throughout time to affect the course of history. It's just a fact. You can't even dispute it.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah. So coming to that realization, you know, you can go two ways. You can survive it, or you can be decimated by it. And if you do survive it, the question then remains is, what do you do with that? Now, a lot of people have jumped on, you know, one particular issue as the way to fix everything. There is no one particular issue to fix everything. The important thing is to fix yourself, and I think that it sounds like you're on the right track, and that's an amazing blessing for all of us to hear that today.
Well, I mean, I'd like to agree with that, but to be quite honest, I'm a waste of human flesh just trying to do my best at this point.
Hey, we all are, man. You know, but you get enough of us together and good things can happen, so.
Well, here's hoping.
Yeah.
I guess that's all we really have at this point.
Right on.
Because I really don't foresee any of this, you know, suddenly coming to a close.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's only going to get worse before it gets better.
This is true. And, you know, we talk about self-reliance. Yeah, you know, it covers the spectrum. I mean, self-reliance in regards to what? Health-related things, survival-related things. These are all facts. These are all things that you should know how to do. And if Bill O'Reilly is promoting self-reliance and that the government is ineffective, that should tell you something. That should tell you that the winds are changing and things are about to get worse. When Michael Chertoff says, we want to prepare people for what's coming, I don't think he's just talking about the death toll from New Orleans and
right.
the death toll from Hurricane
right.
Katrina. He's talking about a lot of other things. But again, the first step in preparation is the only element of your life that you have any degree of control over, and that's your soul. So, you know, people need to get in step with that, I think, first and
oh,
foremost.
Oh, no, I agree with you on that 100%.
Yeah.
But
oh, no doubt.
With, like, Bill O'Reilly and these guys is that they're just another system of control.
I agree with that. I'll tell you what. You can hang on if you'd like, Ray and Bert. Otherwise, we'll take some more calls, and then we'll get to our guest here. If you're in the queue on the phone, we will get to you. Just be patient, okay? We'll not be too long. Folks, quick break. We'll be right back with more Frankly Speaking Radio after this. Good morning. Welcome back, folks. You're listening to Tuesday's edition of Frankly Speaking Radio. I'm your host, Frank Whalen. Welcome back. Back to Bert and Ray in Ohio. Welcome back, guys.
Hey, what's up?
And go ahead, Ray.
Well, one of the things I wanted to say was thank you, actually. You know, a lot of the shows that you've done, a lot of the website actually contributed to my having found my way specifically to the Lord because, you know, I needed some hardcore proof to actually, you know, help me out with that. I needed the shock out of, you know, the mundane world.
Sure.
And I mean, let's get real. You've got really good setups going on there, and like I said, it was a big help.
Oh, thanks.
And
it means the world to me.
Well, like I said, it did wonders for me. Scared me into it more than anything, but that's what it takes, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? I give you all the credit in the world because you know, this stuff's out there. It was out there before I came along. It'll be out there long after I'm gone. But it takes a certain amount of courage, it takes a certain amount of fortitude, and a certain amount of dedication to commit yourself to doing the research. And a lot of people aren't willing to do that, so I commend
right.
you, because this is great, because what you've done is you've helped yourself, and I think that's wonderful. It's a perfect example of self-reliance that we've been talking about here on the show. So, wonderful, wonderful job, my friend.
Well, too, I wanted to ask you, did you get any of the emails on the pictures for the animation of the comic book?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So.
Yeah, I sent a response this morning.
Oh, did you?
I thought it was fantastic, yeah.
Okay, good, good.
Yeah.
Any input you have on that, anything you want to see that go with, you just, you know.
Okay.
Hit us up with an email.
Sounds great. I'll definitely do that.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun for me.
Actually, here, Burr wanted to say something.
All righty.
Hey, brother.
Hey, man.
Hey, I just wanted to show you a little bit of proof of where it's at, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I appreciate it. I think it's very, very cool.
Hey, listen, man, you know, just never think you're alone, man. You're not alone, dude.
I know, and I appreciate that so
you know?
Much.
And did you get that animation? I didn't hear one way or the
yes.
other.
Yes, I sent a response back this morning.
Yay, nay?
Oh, yeah. Check your email.
Okay. All right,
okay.
Hey, man. All right, hey, just, you know. Keep it up, brother. We're out here, man, okay?
Thanks, man. It's keeping me going. I appreciate it, Bert.
That's what I try to do, man.
All right. God bless you guys. Bye-bye. That's really nice. I appreciate that stuff. I really do. I get some great emails, like I said, phone calls like that. Phone calls at home. Yeah, it's something else. Samantha in Florida, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Just fine. I heard you briefly mention that you thought you had heard that Mardi Gras might take place next year.
Yes.
And I just want to tell you that I know for a fact that they will have Mardi Gras.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it's just I just know in my heart because there's no
way
they're
going to... Well, that's not a fact, then. That's a feeling.
No, it's not. Sorry. Wrong choice of words.
No problem.
But anyhow, Frank, I wanted to tell you that they will have Mardi Gras.
What do you think about that? You think it's a good idea or a bad idea?
Oh, I think it is because...
Which one?
I think they should have Mardi Gras.
Oh, okay.
Because it's a tradition.
Yeah.
And it represents New Orleans in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And the scumbags aren't going to keep New Orleans from bouncing back.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. I'm a frequent guest of New Orleans and their hospitality,
yeah.
But I do avoid it during Mardi Gras. I don't like the idea of being shoulder to shoulder with a billion people, and certainly that brings a huge amount of money to the economy. If they were to sort of rapid fire get everything up and going, it's very possible it will occur, and I guarantee it'd be the biggest party this country's seen in a long time.
Sure.
So, hey, if you have more, stay with us, Samantha. Folks, we'll be right back after this quick break. Good morning, my friends. Good morning and welcome. You are listening to hour number 3 of the fastest 4 hours in talk radio. We call it Frankly Speaking Radio, and I'm your host, Frank Whalen. Glad to have you here with us today. It is Tuesday, September 6, 2005, about 8 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone, and we have a guest joining us very soon. Did Samantha stay on, Clint? Okay, let's bring her back up. Samantha in Florida, welcome back.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, I was talking about Mardi Gras in New Orleans, and we also have friends that live in New Orleans, mm-hmm. and they're all planning to go back. They live in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Go back in a month or two and start over again. And New Orleans, people who are from New Orleans are very special, you know,
mm-hmm.
and New Orleans is a very special city. No city like New Orleans.
I agree. It is something else.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be back. And I think it's very tragic what's happened over there.
Do you think it's a good idea, though, to have Mardi Gras, you know, with it being so soon? You know, I understand.
Like a celebratory celebration and everything.
And, I mean, I understand the whole intent of Mardi Gras and all that. So, you know, it's not too out of place. But the problem that I would see with Mardi Gras, and obviously there's some upsides because it is sort of maybe a closure process, and it does bring in a lot of money, but... One of the problems is the people who are suffering from what happened in New Orleans are the residents of New Orleans, whereas the partiers during Mardi Gras are tourists to New Orleans, which maybe don't have the same amount of decorum, respect for the situation.
There are a lot of tourists that go to Mardi Gras, but my friends, they participate in Mardi Gras. They have clubs, balls. They're very much involved in Mardi Gras, and it's not just about the money. I'm not saying they're going to have it because of the money. I'm saying they're going to have it because they love it.
Yeah.
They want it.
Well, that's understandable.
And I've never been to Mardi Gras. I don't go to Mardi Gras. I don't love Mardi Gras. I'm just saying that I know they do.
Yeah.
And they're going to have it. And they probably won't have all the hotels and accommodate the people. They can't accommodate the people that want to come now from out of town.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before the flood.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I actually went to New Orleans one time on a trip with a friend of mine. We just jumped in the car and drove somewhere, and that's where we ended up. And we got there at the tail end of a convention, and the absolute, just the ridiculously just poor nature of this hotel room, it was astounding. I mean, light fixtures were pulled out of the wall with, like, exposed wires, and, like, the lock didn't close on the door, and, you know, the beds all sunk into the middle. And I think that room went for, like, about $200 a night. And because we just drove in, we didn't have anywhere else really to stay, so we stayed there. And the next night, the convention had ended, and the price went back to the $39 a night that it was supposed to be. So, yeah, I'm very well aware of the housing situation in there for, you know, tourism and whatnot. And they do make a crazy amount of money. So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they tried to do something, but at the same time, who knows? It's very possible they might just say, hey, let's have Mardi Gras in a different city this year, and the proceeds going to New Orleans, or who knows?
Well, I know they have Mardi Gras in Mobile, but I know they're going to have, I mean, they're not going to take Mardi Gras away from the people there. They're not going to let them take Mardi Gras away from them. I don't think so.
It'll be very interesting to see how it plays out. But I'll tell you what, if you got people down there, let them know the phone number, because it'd be good to have some eyewitness accounts of what's going on now, what's going on then, too. So.
Also, just want to let you know, we've been listening for years, since May, last year. And my husband wants to know who sings Pretty Little Hairdo.
Jayhawks.
Okay.
Yeah,
thank
okay.
You. All right.
Thank you very much, Samantha. I appreciate it. But I haven't had a music question in a while. Kind of threw me off there. All right, folks. We're going to knock out this break. We'll come right back with our guest today, Glenn Parnum from International Health, has some intriguing information for you, as do I, about the health situations that are coming in New Orleans. Stay with us.